And we'll begin at verse 18. Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. First of all, it was a human birth. It was a birth. Our Lord Jesus Christ was not some sort of a phantom or a apparition or a hologram or anything. He was of a true substance. He was a real man.
Amen.
He was bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh, in order that he could be a spokesman and a mediator and a go-between, one who could look God in the face, because he is God, and look us in the face, because he's man. In that, he's one of the songs we sing, he's God to save, he's man to suffer, and God to save. Now, if we look back at Matthew, or at verse 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 1. I said verse 1, I'm sorry, it's verse 3. I'm going to go to... We'll read verses 1 and 2 as well. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, that is God's Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now, in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, we read where the Lord gave a promise and a sign, and he said on this wise, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now she was a virgin when she was conceived, when Christ was conceived, and a virgin when he was brought forth. So there was no taint of our fallen humanity in our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God.
Amen.
Now look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Genesis 3:15. And God said moreover unto... on the next, let me get back in Genesis. Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now the Lord took of the actual substance of the woman. And who shall declare his generation? Look at Ecclesiastes 11. Ecclesiastes 11:5. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God, who maketh all. We don't know how people grow. I don't. I don't think our scientists do. What we know is that they do. We observe that phenomena, but we don't know what makes it happen. And as we do not know how that natural growth happens in the womb, how that bones are formed and so on, certainly we cannot understand the making, for he was made of the seed of David. He took of the substance of the woman, the seed of woman. Not that he was begotten of a woman, but he was made of a woman. Look at Genesis 2:22. Genesis 2:22. And we'll begin reading in verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman. He took of the creation of the first Adam. He made Adam of a substance that was already existing, the dirt, the clay of the ground. And then he took of that substance of Adam that he had made, and he made the first man, Adam. The woman, Eve, the mother of us all. But look at Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31:22. How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man, or shall compass a man. Now, the Lord Jesus was made in the dark chambers of the womb of the virgin, and she encompassed him. She's all around him. He was made of her substance. And what he's saying here to these folks is, how long will you backslide? How long wilt thou backslide, you Israelites, you people of the Lord? Because Christ must come from you, from the seed of David. of whom concerning the flesh Christ came. The promise was to them. They had a promise that no other nation had, and no other nation has, or has ever had. There's only one time that that happened, that Christ was conceived and brought forth. And therefore, how long will they not believe what God had determined to do through them? That was a new thing. In this here, now in the creation of woman, God took of the substance of man and made a woman. But in the last Adam, or in the second man, he took of the substance of the woman and made a man. The heads of two separate and distinct creations. One natural, that is not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, afterward that which is spiritual. So, that's an amazing thing. That of a that in the womb of a virgin. Look at Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins, and thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did behold my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Now that's looking immediately at David's conception and gestation period and so on, and his birth. But it's looking prophetically at the Lord Jesus Christ and His members, the members of His body. We were all written when as yet we weren't brought forth, when we had no being in ourselves, but we had a being. Now this is something to get a hold of. We had a being in the mind of God. God knew us. Not only did He know it, but He loved us as the members of Christ without beginning. That's an amazing and an amazing, amazing thing. Let's get back to Matthew now, Matthew chapter 1. Look at Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman. Made under the law. Now the woman was made under the law, and Christ Jesus was also made under the law. And go back to Romans then again, back to 1:3. Romans 1:3. Concerning his Jesus, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection of the dead. So his resurrection from the dead was a declaration that it was true that he was the Son of God. And he was declared to be the Son of God. He was made of the seed of David and declared to be the Son of God. And look at Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born. A real human child is actually born of the virgin. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son, the Son of Man and the Son of God, is given. And the government of the universe, and particularly of his church, shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of the hosts will do this. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. Now, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. And I want to begin reading back up here at verse 10. Hebrews 2:10. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Now we're all of one with the Lord Jesus Christ in many, many ways. First of all, we're all of the same human nature. But even before that, we're all of the same election. He is, behold mine elect in whom my soul delighteth, and we're chosen in him. So we're all of the same, we're of the same covenant. We're chosen of him in the covenant of grace. We're of the same promises, being the seed of Abraham whom he took. So we're all of one in many ways. We're not of the world. We know that the little children in 1 John 5:19, little children, you know that we are of the world, and the whole, we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. So as many ways that we're all of one, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praises unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much as the children were partakers of flesh and blood. Well, the children were given him before the foundation of the world in the covenant of grace. And for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself also likewise took part of the same. Because the children were partakers of flesh and blood, he took part in order to be our mediator, our surety, our spokesman, our substitute, that through death he might destroy them that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Now, if our Lord Jesus had been by natural generation, then he would not have been the Son of God. But it was not by natural generation. It was by a miraculous conception that our Lord Jesus was brought into being. And the reason for all of this is that he might put away sin forever from his people. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Mary was espoused to Joseph. They had not consummated the marriage covenant or contract yet, but they were betrothed to one another. They were covenanted that they would be married. It was spoken of, and she was considered his wife. And her being betrothed to David must have been before she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth and abode with her for 3 months. Then Mary returned, and in 3 months' time, she had begun to show. And so she either told Joseph, or Joseph observed by her 3 months' pregnancy that she was with child. But because they were betrothed already, there could be no blame brought on Mary, nor infamy claimed against her child. Because thou shalt not suffer an illegitimate son in Israel. So by her betrothal to Joseph, her reputation and his honor was protected. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Now, if a woman was taken, supposed virgin was a man take her to wife, and he was displeased with her because he found her not a virgin, then I think the law was that they should be stoned. I intended to read through Deuteronomy chapter 22 in order to bring all that out, but I didn't get that done. But anyway, so Joseph, being a just man and not minded to make a public example of her, and the public example was by stoning, in order that others could see the repercussions of fornication and abstain from that activity. So that's what's meant by being made a public example. He was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Look at Psalm 72:17. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him, and all nations shall call him blessed. That is the fruit of her womb, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we are. So as Joseph was thinking on these things, he was perturbed. He was, no doubt, he was thinking about his relationship to the law. What should he do? Should he go ahead and marry a woman who obviously had, according to the rules of nature, had been living in a rather loose manner? Or should he hale her before the magistrate and have her stoned? But he finally decided that he would put her away privately. And while he was in that perplexity, the angel of the Lord visited him and sent him this message. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now this was made, this conception was made by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit overshadowed her, and the Father had a hand in this, because he said in Psalm 40, a body thou hast prepared me. So, and the God the Son had a heart, had a hand in it, because at the instant of conception, he took it into union with his person. So there was three, all the three persons of the Godhead was at work in the conception and growth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, a Savior. That's what that means. And he shall save his people from their sins. Isaiah 45:17. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation, and shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. Now this is not a temporal salvation, or not a salvation that you can lose, but it says an everlasting salvation. And the purpose that the Father had in sending his son into the world was that he should save his people from their sins. And the purpose that the son had in coming to the world was to save his people from their sins. And these who are called his people were those that were given him in the covenant of grace before the foundation of the world. They were his children from everlasting, and because they had taken part of flesh and blood, he also himself took part of the same, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. He knows our frame. And he said, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, who would stand? Well, none of us would. And by marking iniquity, he means imputing sins. And by that we know that blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. So he came on a mission from his Father. He was sent of the Father. He came to do the will of the Father, because he delighted to do his will. He came voluntarily, though he were appointed as the surety, mediator, great high priest of his people. And he came not to try, not to make it possible that persons could be saved, not to make it a possibility, and not if you will, of your own free will, but to absolutely save those given him by contract in the covenant of grace before the foundation of the world to bring that many sons to glory. Let me turn back to Hebrews here for just a minute. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus. We who are of the spiritual seed of Abraham see Jesus. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. That's why he came. Came to die. Came to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Came to ransom us from death. Came to destroy Satan and his power over us. We see, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man's not there in the original. It's just not. But it's every son, because he brought. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Just as a sideline, I was having the discussion that you must have with Arminians when you meet up with them. And he brought up this scripture. He said, well, he tasted death for every man. And I said, well, man's not there. It's every son. Moreover, if you look at Colossians chapter 1, and read at verse 27, whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man. Now, did Paul warn every man? I don't think he saw every man on the planet back then, but he saw every man that he saw. Warning everybody he had the opportunity, and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we might present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, is that talking about all and every man without exception or distinction? No. It's talking about everyone who is enabled to receive the gospel. So, I just say that to you when you run into this conversation, which you probably already have, and if you haven't, you will probably, remember this portion of Scripture. Colossians 1, 27 through the remainder of the chapter, that it overthrows that argument that Christ tasted death for every man. He tasted death for every man that is of the election of grace. He tasted death for everyone who is willing, because they're of the election of grace. He tasted death for every man that's thirsty, for every man that hungers and thirsts after righteousness. He tasted death for everyone and all of the children of God. But he did not taste of death for every man without exception. All right. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. As many as were ordained to eternal life, that's who he will save. And in Acts 2:39. For the promise is unto you and your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him, all that the Father giveth me will come to me. And him that cometh I will in no wise cast out. Look at John 6, 37 there just a minute. John 6, 37. And we'll read verse 36. But I said unto you, talking to the Pharisees now, and to the Jews, that ye also have seen me, but you don't believe me. You've seen me. You saw my miracles. You saw all these things that I've done, but you don't believe me. Now in 10:26, over there, he said, ye believe not because you're not of my sheep. But ye believe not because you're not of my sheep. Well, he said, you don't believe me here in John 6:36. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me and believe not. Now they had seen unanswerable evidence of his messiahship, and yet they didn't believe. All that the Father giveth me will come to me. They didn't believe. But all that the Father gives him, or had given him before the foundation of the world, at the time appointed, they would come to him. And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Now, most of the free will churches, they quote the last half of that verse and leave the first half out. All that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. But all that come to him because they were given him before the foundation of the world. All right. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And the Word was made flesh. Miracle of miracles. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which had been spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Which being interpreted is God with us. He is God with us. He dwells in his church. He's God in us. Christ, the hope of glory. And he is God for us. If God be for us, who can be against us? He's the friend of Abraham. We're the children of Abraham. We stand in the same relationship to him as our father, Abraham. our Lord Jesus Christ is God. There's nothing that's in the Father. He is of the same nature, power, essence, and glory. All the perfections of the Father. All that the Father is, Christ is. And the same with the Holy Spirit. They're one God subsisting in three persons. And each person, because of their united love of the election of grace, all have a part in the salvation of His people. The Father elects, the Son redeems, the Holy Spirit regenerates. And so, when faith is given, when the faith of God's elect is given to a believer, they are to be baptized in the name of the Father for His electing love, the Son for His redeeming work, and the Holy Spirit for His regenerating power exercised upon them.
Amen.
And because of the work of all three of those persons, by their hand is the only reason that anybody ever believes. If you believe the gospel, it's because God has had a purpose in you, has visited you in time, and has caused you to believe and given you the faith of God's elect, which is to depend and look to Christ alone for all salvation and to look away from everything else, and has made you to know that everything that comes from you is polluted by sin. All of our righteousnesses are filthy rags. There's nothing that we can do of ourselves to better our standing with God or to give us a standing with God, but it's wholly of His mercy. And as Paul said, in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. So if this gospel means anything at all to you, it's because God's made it to mean something to you. Not because you did, but because God did. And the reason, and the only reason God does that is not because He saw that you was pretty good folks a week or so ago and that you maintained a good moral standing for a month or two. It was because God chose you in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world in order to glorify His name, because He saved you from your sin.
Amen.
This is about the glory of God. He would not have sworn by His holiness to David that of his seed would He raise up to sit upon His throne a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
Amen.
It's all about His glory.
Amen.
He's going to manifest His glory.
Yeah.
And He does it through His people.
Yeah.
We're all works folks by nature. We just are. We're all of that way that seemeth right. Because we all think, well, you know, in the back of our mind, we're all the time thinking, well, if I do this and that, no. And we have to be taught to stay away from that kind of foolishness. Because we can't do anything right. God has never blessed any one of us for any good thing that we ever did. Never has and never will. He blesses us because of what Christ Jesus did. All right. She shall bring forth a son and call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Now this Jesus, this popular Jesus today, wants to do and tries to do and makes it possible, if you will, you can do. But that ain't the one of the scriptures. This one, the Jesus of scripture says he shall save his people from their sins. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Now when the Lord sent the message to him, all of his anxieties ceased. He just trusted the Lord. And when the Lord puts his word in our heart, when he sprinkles our heart from an evil conscience, then the load of sin is just taken away. The guilt, the burden, is taken away. You're free as a bird. Whereas before you was loaded down with the guilt of sin. And knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Well, we're thankful for that name, because in that name, that's the name of his humiliation. In that name, he's our near kinsman, our Redeemer. And all of this was done because God had purposed to save his people. Amen. All right.